rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing grand. How are you?
I'm doing really well. We're sitting here. We're about to go to the gym, and we're sitting in the car recording before we go in, and you may hear some chickens.
I can hear them, and kids screaming.
And kids playing. That's nice. There's a community center. I think it might be a church next door to the gym. And Teo is in the car. If you are watching the YouTube channel, he's kind of on the side. He's checking out someone that is getting out of their car next to us.
Yeah, somebody's...
No, she knows her. He gets...
Doodle?
He's a Portuguese water dog.
Oh. Yeah, but he's very protective. Don't put your hand in.
No?
No, I wouldn't.
Sorry. He's very nice, but when we're in the car... He gets protective. I'm sorry.
It's not you. When I first met him, he did the same thing.
But out of the car, he'd be nice as anything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a super fan of dogs.
Aww.
Nice.
Right on. Come
here,
dude.
That's what Teo does when someone's coming close to the car. I thought he was maybe going to be okay because he got to say hi to her.
Yeah, but she's getting ready to stick her hand in. I'm going, oh, gosh.
Don't do it. I know.
Lose a hand.
I know. Well, yeah. Good boy, buddy. We might have a little bark attack. She's just went to the gym. She's heading out.
Yikes.
So we wanted to talk about something that's unique about Yuba City, and that is... that there are chickens here, and this certain little mini shopping mall that where the gym is has a lot of chickens. And back in 2018, ABC out of Sacramento did a little article, and the author of the article is John Bartel. I don't know if he was the news reporter that day or if he wrote this, but he asks, why did the chickens cross the road? It's an age-old question. If you're in Sutter County, the question gets asked a lot. And in Yuba City, chickens rule the road. So we will take another little video for YouTube showing you the chickens, but you'll probably hear the roosters crowing. And where they think they might have come from is there used to be a... it says back in the 70s there was a livestock yard, and they think that they might have escaped and come from that and then just kind of bred over the years. And then there's a silly urban legend that they came from the variety of poultry themed restaurants. And
really?
This news article says an unofficial count on Google Maps reveals at least a dozen different chicken eateries. Some may question the feral chicken populations connected to the restaurants. So that's basically, they talked to Sutter Museum curator Jessica Hogan, and he says that she can tell you a lot about Yuba City, but not about the chickens, and that she was skeptical that they came from the restaurants. But they're a part of the city. People are like, what's with the chickens? But people who live here know. You'll even see there's a little spot over there where people will drive in and leave some food scraps, which I'm sure the shopping center loves. What did you think about the chickens when you first saw them?
Well, We're in a city with cars driving around. You pull in a parking lot, and suddenly there's chickens, a bunch of roosters going around with their harem. What's weird, you know, you say it was at the chicken
with
restaurant.
Their harem, that was hard to understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, with their harem, it's pretty interesting. You know, they're all protective over the hens, but the theory of it being them getting released or them escaping from chicken restaurants might be dispelled because there's an ice cream place that we go to, an old-fashioned ice cream place. And I still remember the first time you took me there, and we pull in, and there's all these chickens in the parking lot at an old-fashioned ice cream place. And it's going, right on, you know. So it doesn't faze me anymore. It's just sort of expected in Yuba City. There's going to be these roosters and hens running around, and they seem to live a good life, procreating and eating garbage.
Yeah, yeah. That led me to remember the film Chicken Run. And it's a stop-motion animated film that did really, really well. And I guess the name of the animation company is Aardman Animations, that partnered with DreamWorks. And until Shrek, it was DreamWorks' biggest, highest-grossing animated film. And Shrek came out the next year. Have you seen Chicken Run?
I haven't seen Chicken Run nor Shrek. So,
oh my goodness.
I know.
We have to watch both of those. But I didn't know that there is a sequel to Chicken Run that came out in last year called Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget.
Really? And what's it about?
Well, I don't know, but we're going to watch it. But we'll start with Chicken Run. But this leads in us into an important conversation that will come up from time to time on the podcast. And that's our decision to be plant-based. And would it be okay if I talk a little bit about
Please.
That? Okay.
Yeah, it is important.
So the film Chicken Run, I haven't seen it in many, many years, but it is really beautiful. And it was before that, it was when I was still eating meat. And it's funny how things can change your perspective. And I'm really curious about what causes that in people. There's a book, and I meant to grab it because I am now famous for not providing references to what I talk
notes.
About, but it'll be in the show notes.
Yep, it'll be in the show.
And it's Kitchen Something, and I will. It's a woman. She wrote her first book was on abalone, and then she wrote about food and kind of history of things in our kitchen and what we know about them. And there's a section of the book that I actually read out loud to you a few weeks ago where when we went from getting meat from smaller farms and we started having supermarkets, meat production facilities got bigger and bigger and more technologically advanced. And I feel like it would have been in the 40s or 50s, but we can reference it again. We can talk about that again, but they did a tour in the Chicago meat processing plant where, you know, they were very proud of how this meat was being processed, and they wanted to bring people in to kind of promote this in general. And the way that this passage is written is that these men and women, like the men were kind of looking at each other, and that there was weeping involved when people toured this plant. So promptly meat production went behind the scenes and undercover, and one of the films that has really impacted me, and Aaron wasn't even able to watch all of it because of how it was making you feel, legs, I mean. The Earthling film, you know, shows you things, but people had to go undercover to get that footage. So anyway, back to the lighthearted Chicken Run. It's about these chickens that are trying to avoid being killed in the movie in a very funny, lighthearted way. But I think back on that film now, and it's been probably 3 or 4 years that I haven't eaten meat. And I do remember thinking about it, and you're in this moral dilemma of knowing that this is the right thing, that something in you knows is the right thing, even though these are animated, you know, talking creatures on the film. And it took a while for me to get to that. So my personal story is my daughter was vegan in college. She's not vegan any longer, but she is vegetarian. And I eventually went to Meatless Mondays probably right before COVID, maybe a year or two before COVID. And then during COVID, I switched to Meat Mondays. So I was meatless one day a week. And then a couple years later, I switched to meat only on one day a week. And then I was caring for my mom at that time. And it was a little challenging to not have meat. But, you know, I figured she's in my house. We're living together. I was caring for her. She can be on this same food journey as me. And then I think Earthling might have been the thing that had me finally become completely plant-based and not eating meat, was that film, but I can't recall exactly. But into my journey, it definitely became, I don't know if it was even ever much of a health question. It was always an ethical question for me. And right now, this year, I'm working towards moving towards veganism, but I do still eat some cheese and yeah, so and that's eggs. My story.
Right.
And occasional eggs as well. Yep.
My story is different, but for the same reasons. When I met Lizzie, she was she was vegetarian, and I made a decision then that I didn't want her to smell meat on my breath. It was just not something that I wanted. So it was easy for me because I didn't really eat red meat, and I had justified in my brain that if I only ate chicken and fish and I didn't eat red meat and veal and rabbit and all the other things, well, you know, I'm still doing better than a lot of other people, which is not the right thing. I really realized that my thinking was askew. And so I decided not to eat meat being around Lizzie, and it just sort of continued. And I'm one of those people, I don't recommend, you know, I can't recommend what other people do. I just ripped the Band-Aid off and said, I'm just going to be a vegetarian. And I stopped eating meat. And so it's probably halfway or, you know, a third into our relationship, I just said, that's it. And I've never looked back. And
it was at the Punk Rock Bowling Festival, actually, when you made the decision.
That's right.
We were sitting at breakfast.
And I kind of explained yeah.
My perspective related to all of the meat. We just had a nice conversation about it.
I remember the restaurant and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, I sort of say my vegetarian, you know, sobriety date, if you want to call it, is June 1st. And so what I found out is, for me personally, first of all, you can eat amazingly well as a vegetarian. Yes, I eat eggs and some cheese, and that's pretty much it. You know, and then I eat, you know, what everybody would probably eat normally being a vegetarian. I did try to watch the documentary Earthlings, and in about 10 minutes in, I am sobbing uncontrollably because, you know, you'll probably learn about this in later episodes. I grew up in a very unusual family, and we had tons of animals. And when I say animals, I mean animals. And even though we were in what you would call a suburban lifestyle, we had a farm in suburbia, and I love animals, and watching that film made me so distraught that besides the health benefits of a man my age being on a plant-based diet, and because I want to live a long time and I want to be with Lizzie a long time, I found that ethically I couldn't do it anymore. It's even gone further where I will not buy anything new that's leather. You know, if it's old and that goes back to our not buying things new, reusing, it's just progressed. But what's interesting is, since I've been a vegetarian, the food smells better, it tastes better. I have had some of the most amazing meals by people that know what they're doing. And it's really been a wonderful journey. And at some point, I will try to become a vegan, just because I want to support Lizzie and, you know, our life together. And it's just easier when two people are doing it. But right now, I'm pretty okay. Like, it's good enough to be a vegetarian. And I'm really happy to, you know, and proud that I eat a plant-based diet. And it's interesting. My cholesterol, I didn't really have that bad a cholesterol issue, you know, just some, you know, hereditary problems. Well, my cholesterol is extremely normal now. And it's very easy to stay healthy. And so it's the best decision I ever made. I will not deny. I used to love barbecue, and I'm going to miss, you know, there's certain times I'm just going to miss it. It's also sometimes difficult, but it's getting better where you go to restaurants and they really don't have much for a vegan or vegetarian, but we make it work. We always find something to eat when we go out to eat. And I am proud to say that I'm a card-carrying vegetarian, and I'm going to stick to it. That's my story. So,
that's
and
awesome.
I thank you. And I thank you for, you know, being patient and letting me go on my journey. There was no pressure. It was just, you know, she always said, eat whatever you want. And it was because I didn't want to subject you. It really came down to that. That's how much I love you.
Yeah, and it's, Legs says that about smelling meat on his breath. That never, I don't even know if that's a thing, but when you, my instinct is, oh, that's kind of silly, but I think it's more as you progress into all of it, it's a spiritual thing, and it's more, and you're a very spiritual person, so I kind of feel like that intuitive feeling that you had about that could have been related to that more than a smell or a taste or whatever.
Right.
But
it was in my head. There was nothing.
Yeah,
it was nothing. You said it was just like I wanted to support you, and when I realized that I want to spend my life with you, you know, it's like one of those things you do for somebody that you really care about. You just sort of do it. And besides that, ethically, I really love animals. And the thought of, you know, I don't want it in my...
It's a journey. We were talking about, I think we've talked about it really briefly, the Korean vegan author, Instagram person. Her husband, boyfriend was vegan, and she became vegan and then converted all these beautiful recipes and started her Instagram channel while she was still an attorney. And it's a process, and if we had a process where we slowly over time disregarded animals and treating them as nothing or less than nothing, it's going to take the same type of journey. But it may be, things sometimes seem like, oh, how long is it going to take? There's can be a shift, and if we all start shifting, eventually this shift happens, and it's already happening with the it's so funny, the chickens with the products that we have. I wanted to mention that related to Chicken Run, there is a great article on Farmer's Almanac, hopefully you can hear me over the chickens, on how to build a Chicken Run, why you should build it, and basically it's a larger area for your chickens that protects them from predators. And we'll put the plant in the show notes, and that article also has a great article on how to build a chicken coop. We, besides our garden, where our garden is, we plan to put a chicken coop in, and we already have, we'll take, probably get some video of it today, besides the video here of the chickens, at the little farm in Meridian, where we will show the chickens that are just living in the town. There's lots of chickens in the town.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh. Right now, we got two roosters going after a hen, and that's what all the crowing's about, so, yeah.
Don't, this is a PG show.
No, I know, it's okay. Just... They're being good. They're just like making it known, you know, yeah, we're at the gym. And so I guess they're just, you know, flexing their muscles right now. That's all they're doing is walking around.
So I wanted to say something else, a little serious right now.
Yeah.
If you can stay off the chicken pornography for a second. And that is, and I will at some point say it again, I'm sure, in this journey on the podcast. But I believe that our decision to not eat meat is directly related to our ability to have peace on the planet and no more wars. And that the way that we treat each other as humans and the wars that we are in, that if our mind can have this separation where we are treating animals in such a way that it is completely associated with the wars and the killing of humans and these wars that we are in. So I don't take it lightly, and I invite people to consider it and just start with that one day a week. If you're eating meat every day, if you're still eating meat a little, consider maybe not eating meat for a month or three. And we're not going to be preaching at all. That's why we threw in the crazy chickens in Yuba City. That's why we threw in the funny Chicken Run movie. And it's all, we're all one, and it's all, we're all together. We're in this thing together. And we'd love to hear about your personal journey and in the comments of the podcast or wherever we are on social media. And I think, anything else on chickens?
No. We're all God's children, and we're just going to all try to get along.
And, yeah. What does Teo think about eating meat?
He says, "Mom, you know, I just eat my kibble and I'm happy." So,
yeah, and Teo is eats a brand of dog food called Wild Earth, and people are going to fall off their chair that we have a vegetarian dog. But there you go. And that's not completely true. We still buy a treat, which is a salmon-based kibble that he gets a little sprinkle, and we use it as treats. But we're on the journey, and it's just a journey. It's a spectrum, and we're on it. And that's, yeah, we want to be honest about what we're doing.
Exactly. And we welcome your comments. We want to hear what you have to say. Yeah. You know, please write us, because we'd like to know. And, we're not going to ever shove this down your throat. It's just our journey.
Okay. Is that good? Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
Punk farm.
Love life.
Do stuff and make stuff. Don't buy stuff.
Oh, man. My old age. I don't remember.
I think Peace Punk Plants.
Yeah, Peace Punk Plants. That's right. Peace Punk Plants. Yeah.
Riding pony down life's lane.
Wow.
Searching
we're
for
good.
The why of all the pain he knows. Never be the same.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff. Make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
In the pouring rain, sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows. It'll never be the same. Old black dog just tags along. listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry. No one.